He's the center. Everything revolves around him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, stand with me with your Bibles as we go to the Word of God. Acts chapter 3. He is the center of our joy. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Acts 3, verses 1 through 7. If you give me some of the monitors up here, I'd appreciate it. To all of our first-time guests, we are so glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. Amen. Sister Monique has her parents all the way from the Bahamas. The whole world went international today, baby. Oh, yes, we have. So glad to have them here with us today. And I looked back there and I saw one of my colleagues from when Acts the Pastor came on years ago, the Reverend Michael Newbert. Amen. He's with us this morning. Amen. And then I saw another colleague in the ministry, also my fraternity brother and his wife, the Reverend Dr. Donald Davenport and his wife, Miss Frances. Amen. So glad to have all of you that are here worshiping with us this morning. There is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Just a little bit more on the monitors. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Acts 3, verses 1 through 7. When you have it, say amen. Amen. If you don't, just say, wait on me, Pastor, wait on me, wait on me. It's all good. I see those fingers scrolling up. Amen. Acts chapter 3. Verses 1 through 7. And it reads as this: Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the beautiful gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. This is where transformation happens for this brother. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man from the took the lame man by the right hand, which is the hand of authority, and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing and reading of his word. I want to speak just for a few moments from the subject, authentic ministry. Authentic ministry. Pray with me this morning. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you. We praise you, oh God, for just being awesome and amazing. God, there is no one like you. And we ask and pray, oh God, that as we come to your table to dine, I pray that we've come to the table hungry this morning, Father, ready to receive your word. And God, once we get filled, oh God, we're ready to go and take what we have shared and share our leftovers with others, oh God, that they can be filled from your table as well, Father. Take these scattered thoughts, oh God. Take what's on my heart, Father God. Take what's been presented on the screens, oh God. Let it be an offering set up unto you, Lord. You may be pleased and that your people may be edified. And it's in the strong name of Jesus we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Authentic ministry. Hopewell has just celebrated 121 years of ministry. Let me say that again. Y'all can clap. I said Hopewell has celebrated 121 years of ministry, 121 years of bringing help to our city, restoration to our community, and hope to our world. 121 years since 1902 that we've seen people's lives be changed by the preaching and the teaching and the gospel of Jesus Christ. As great as that sounds, that we have seen God do many things, deacons, over 121 years, over my 20 years of being a part of Hope World, we've seen God do some awesome and amazing things. Though we take this time to be able to celebrate that all that God has done, I also believe that it would behoove us, Reverend Newbert, to be able to pause and to be able to reflect upon where we are and where we're going. It's wise of us that after we have done the thing for so long and have, again, have some great milestones and have seen God do some awesome and amazing things, it is wise to always do a self-assessment. It's always wise to stop and to pause and to be able to see how far you've come, to be able to celebrate that absolutely, but also to be able to see how far you have to go. I've taken this time over the past few weeks, this month, always around this time, always around my anniversary. It's always a time of deep thought and reflection to see again where we are and yet where we still need to go. Bouncing back from COVID was huge because so many churches closed their doors during COVID because when people were not allowed to come into the building, they no longer gave if they weren't present. Churches and pastors had to make a decision: do I pay my house mortgage or do I pay the mortgage for the church? And some doors had to close. But thank God, by his grace and by his mercy and by his sovereignty, that the doors of Hopewell Missionary Baptist Church remain open virtually, creatively. We made it happen. And those members and partners of the well continued to give to make sure that the kingdom building and the vision of the well was able to continue and to go forward. Made it through that, and now here we are on the other side of COVID, where ministry may look a little bit differently. We're getting back to some of our norms and some of our ways of how we have done things, but yet still, time of reflection is not to look back and see how far and how close we've come after COVID and those different things that we have been able to do or not, but it's still a sense to be able to assess and to be able to see out of everything that we've done over 121 years, now we're approaching 122 years, are we continuing to strive to do authentic ministry? Or are we more caught up at how many shares that we can be able to get? Don't get me wrong. Don't get me twisted. I check every week to see how many shares that we have, because the more shares that we have, the more that the message of Jesus Christ is getting out there. But is it all about just the shares that we get on social media? Is it all about the likes that we get? Is there something that I may say that may go viral and people hear about Hopewell, people hear about Hopewell from all over the world? Is it about that? Come on. Some bald-headed preacher from Carbondale goes viral that got on a collar and a robe. Is it just about that? Is there more that we can be able to trust and believe God to be able to do? Is there more that we have our eyes and hearts set on that we're believing God to do? Thank God we have been innovative. Thank God that we have been creative. But yet still, could there be a missing piece to the puzzle and all that we are striving to do in our own human effort? Thank God. Thank God for our heritage. Thank God. Thank God for those that have gone before us. Thank God for those that have gone before us here at Hopewell. I just think about certain people, Deacon Archibald Gray. I think about certain people, Mother Thomas, Mother Jesse B. Anderson. I think about some of those, Deacon James E. Anderson, seeing some of those that have went home to be with the Lord, that served faithfully here at the world over the years. Brother Box, I heard Mother Calvin talk about Brother Box all the time, and just all the people that have paved the way. Is there yet still more that we may be missing than what we're experiencing right now? Again, thank God for our heritage and where we have come from as a people, as a race of a people. Thank God from where we have come from, where they may not have had the technology that we have. They may not have had the resources that we have. They may not have had all the glitz and the glamours that we have, but they knew that if I call on the name of Jesus, oh, that something was going to be able to happen. This very land that we sit on right now, for years, Mother Anderson, for years, Mother Thomas, for years, Mother Ivy, they will come and pray on this ground daily. that God will be glorified. There was nothing here but just dust and rubble and rocks. They would pray all the time through every season, through every weather, in praying that as we erect this building, let God be glorified. Let God be magnified. Thank God they were able to see the building go up. Thank God they were able to see the naming of the Anderson Fellowship Hall. Thank God they were able to see the naming of the Mother Ivy and Mother Thomas Nursery. Thank God they were able to see Mother Albrine, all that they have been praying and believing God to do. Now, how we measure success now in church is different than how they measure success then. We're looking at how many butts are in the seats. We're looking at how big our budget is. We're looking at what this Sunday's offering may have been. They're looking at that, but in the old church, it really make a difference about what the budget was. It really make a difference about what the attendance was. Their aim and their desire was, is Holy Spirit present in our midst, in our coming together, in our singing, in our preaching, in our serving? Is Holy Spirit present? And is the power of God evident in the space? Authentic ministry is something that is pure in motive. Authentic ministry is something that is real. Authentic ministry is something that is relevant. Authentic ministry is something that people can be able to put their finger on and know exactly what it is. Something happened in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Bible says they were all assembled in one place. Holy Spirit comes. Holy Spirit comes in the first church. Some amazing things began to happen. It doesn't just stay in chapter 1. It continues to go to chapter 2. Bible says that one of the disciples get up and they begin to preach boldly, and 5,000 souls were saved. Oh, y'all missing it, because there was no music ministry. There was no praise team. There was no Sunday school. There was no small group. All it was the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. And as the word was being preached, people's hearts were convicted. And at the end of the authority, at the end of sharing with boldness the good news of Jesus Christ, 5,000 people gave their lives to Christ. What was it that was so unique in the presentation? What was it that was so drawing that people were captivated just by the preaching alone and no other sides? Can I tell you what it was, saints of God? It was the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that was evident, because people could not understand how in the world have these 12 men who have no degree, they have not been to John A., they have not been to Shawnee Community College, they have not been to SIU, they have not been to any online classes, they have not been to any mastermind classes. How have these 12 unlearned, untrained men walked and stand with such boldness and such authority and such power? And the Bible says, I believe that it was with Peter, that when he walked by, just his mere shadow healed people. He never laid hands on them. He never touched them. But it was his shadow. What was the difference? It's because they had attended the school of Jesus Christ. Don't miss what I'm not saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not knocking degrees. I have one. Amen. I'm not knocking any of those things. You go ahead with your bad stuff and get a degree. In fact, find you a job that will pay for you to have continual education, and you go on the job's dime. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to receive that, but that's okay. Okay. And so I'm not knocking any of those things. But there is something said, that there is something to be said about people who spend time with the Master. There is something to be said about people who will spend time in prayer with God, who will spend time in the Word with God, who will spend time in worship with God, because something will happen in your life that
school. Something will happen in your heart that you won't be able to get in the book. Something will happen in your mind that you won't be able to receive through anybody else but through the university of Jesus. These 12 unlearned men, these 12 untrained men, they have spent time with Jesus. And because they have spent time with Jesus, their lives have been transformed by the Holy Spirit. I like what my Pentecostal friends would say, the Holy Ghost. Something happened when the Holy Ghost came into their lives. I know some already got nervous. Oh, my gosh, what is this preacher up there doing talking about the Holy Spirit? Because as soon as I say that, you're automatically thinking that I'm referring to speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. Don't hear what I'm not saying. The gifts, all of the gifts. Somebody say all the gifts. Somebody say all the gifts. Somebody say all the gifts again. All the gifts are necessary. I know. Most of us, our backgrounds, where we may come from, whether it be a Baptist church or whatever, and it was taught against, it was preached against, but all of the gifts, everybody say all the gifts. All of the gifts are essential. We need some folks that have the gift of speaking in tongues. We need some folks that have the gift of interpretation. We need some folks that have the gift of faith. We need people that have the gift of giving. We need folks that have the gift of administration. We need folks that have the gift of hospitality. We need everybody to fall in line and get in where they fit in at, because when we operate in our gifts, in fact, Peter said, if you have the gift of teaching, you get up and you talk and you teach as if you have the authority and the power of God. You talk and you teach as if you know exactly what you're talking about. In essence, he's saying, hey, when we all operate in our gifts, when we all operate in what God has given us, it is a beautiful symphony of the Holy Spirit at work in the life of the church. But what happens with them, Brother Ben, it was not just limited to speaking in tongues. But what happened to them, Reverend Newber, was that Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 16, he says, listen, I'm getting ready to get out of here. I got to go. Right. And they're looking around, where we going now? He said, no, I got to go. He said, whoa, wait a minute, sir. We done rolled with you all this time. We done left our jobs. We done left our 401k plans. We done left our insurance policies. Listen, our life insurance policy done lapsed now. You talking about you about to go and we're not going with you? He says, I have to go, because if I don't go, Holy Spirit won't be able to come. I like what Pastor Cal Adams says in his book, Not a Fan, that they had got so hung up and they got so close with Jesus being in their presence. But Jesus was offering them now something even better than just his presence. He says, hey, I'm getting ready to go down from this place. I'm getting ready to go. But when I leave, I'm going to, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Paraclete is going to come. And you thought that you had something because I was here with you, but the Holy Ghost is going to come and live on the inside of you. And wherever you go, he's going to go. Wherever you go, he will be there. When you're at work, he'll be there with you. When you're at home, he'll be there with you. When you're at school, he will be right there. So he said, I need you to get happy and get excited, because I know I'm getting ready to go, but I'm going to make way for Holy Spirit to come and live on the inside of you. We see him come in Acts chapter 1. We see him moving in Acts chapter 2. Wherever we see Holy Spirit working, we see transformation happening. And let me tell you this, saints of God, oh, well, Pastor, I don't know. I don't think I have it. Oh, yes, you do. Because when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you said, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. I've been trying to do life on my own, and it's not working, so I need you to come in. I get saved and I ask the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. I receive then the gift of the Holy Spirit, where he lives on the inside of me. Oh, because contrary to what some preachers have taken the word of God and manipulated the word of God to cause us to be able to think that the Holy Spirit is only for those that are called to do ministry, that the Holy Spirit is only needed for those to be able to operate in ministry. No. You need the help of the Holy Spirit to stay faithful to your spouse. You need help of the Holy Spirit to raise your kid in this evil world that we're in. You need help of the Holy Spirit to work on your job with those your family members that you are dreading Thanksgiving to Christmas because you really don't want to deal with them. You need help of the Holy Spirit to be able to walk day in and day out
in life. Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Brother Steele. Here's the thing. The question is not, Brother Ben, if we have the Holy Spirit. But the question is this: are we tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit? Are we overworking ourselves to exhaustion? Because we're working too hard and we're not making space for Holy Spirit to help us. Are we tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to live a godly life? Because let me tell you, I don't care how good your dance may be. I don't care how good your shout may be. I don't care how good your tongue may sound. I don't care how many ministries that you serve in the church. You need help of the Holy Ghost. To live daily. Need help of the Holy Spirit that when your cashier gives you too much change back that you recognize the fact this ain't a blessing from God. Jesus told them in John 16 that the Holy Spirit will come to convict the world of their sin. Not just limited to having us dance and run and shout. I would dance with the best of them. I would shout with the best of them. But Holy Spirit will convict you and let you know. Don't say that like that. Unsend that text. Text it the right way again. Holy Spirit will say, take that post down. Take the video down. It will convict you to lead you in the way of the mess. Are we tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit? Because I like what Pastor Cal Eidemann, he says, shameless plug, you got to join us on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock for midweek, growing strong in midweek Bible study. We're growing in the word of God. Here it is. I like what Pastor Cal Eidemann says. He says, you cannot be a follower unless you are filled with the Holy Ghost. He says you cannot profess and say that you are a vocal, visible follower of Jesus Christ. They don't have the Holy Ghost working and operating on the inside of you. Holy Spirit will help you be nice to folks that can't stand you. Holy Spirit will help you work with folks who've been trying to set you up, and you know it because the Holy Ghost done told you. But he done gave you an alternate plan to be able to work around that plan, and you still showing the love of God, and they're trying to figure out how in the world it's the Holy Ghost, because in my flesh I already got two knives and two guns ready to get you. You and I can't be a follower unless we have Holy Spirit. Oh, so what are you saying to us? What are you saying, Pastor? After 121 years, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. All that we do, we got to be filled with the Spirit of God. All that we say, all that we do, we have to be filled with the Spirit of God, that we cannot get to a place that we celebrate where God has brought us to and what we have, and we fail to think that this is it. But when there's more, if we just listen and follow the leading of Holy Spirit. Here it is. Let me get to our text right now. Here it is. Peter and John are here at the temple. Something happens, and I've heard this story. I've heard this scripture. Pastor Davenport, Sister Davenport, I heard the scripture preached so many times, but I just saw it in a different lens. Just even in my study and looking at different things, saw it from a different lens, that they see this as a ministry opportunity. But there's some stuff we got to take heed of to continue on in authentic ministry. They get to the place, they get to the temple, and they get there around the time of prayer. Here's the first thing right here, saints of God. Saints of God. Authentic ministry does not happen without prayer. Oh, God, help me today. Help me today. I'm looking for my mature church this morning. Authentic ministry does not happen without prayer. I was saying this past Wednesday in Bible study, I had an epiphany the other day. I was sitting thinking about something, and I said, I get it now. I get everything that the late Elder Janet Russell used to say, certain stuff that she said that for some of us to get on our nerves because we didn't understand what she was saying, but I understand, did not understand that she was speaking prophetically and concerning the future of things to be able to come, but it hit me, Brother Ben, like a bag of bricks. I get it now. That everything that we are to be as a people and everything that we are to be as a church will not exist without an effective prayer life. Here it is. Peter and John are making their way intentionally to the place, to the temple, for the purpose of prayer. They're going there to be able to get God involved in their affairs. They're going there to be able to commune with God and to be able to talk to God. I know some, I know I already hear some saying, well, I ain't got to go to the temple to be able to pray. You're absolutely right, but you're not coming to the temple and you're still not praying. So that's not the point. The point is, they're coming to the temple to be able to pray. They're coming there with the mindset that we're coming to get God involved in our affairs. And thank God that prayer is not just limited to a place, that prayer is not just limited to the temple, it's not just limited to a prayer room or to an altar, but God can meet you in your shower, God can meet you in your car, God can meet you in your cubicle, God can meet you on your lunch break. I don't know, I know your time might be fair and your time might be stretched and you don't really know what to do and don't even know what to say, but when you just say Jesus or you say help, hell, you just groan and groan. He knows how to interpret the moans and the groans and the feelings that you have down deep on the inside. Oh, he knows when you're frustrated there washing dishes and you're trying to figure out how you're going to make ends meet and all you can say is help, 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 help. He knows what you're saying in prayer. It's not limited to just a location, but it is an environment that we create that I'm with God. I'm with God. Saints of God, here it is. Here it is. You may not like what I got to say, but we're not praying enough. Pastor, what gives you the right? Now you being a Pharisee and Sadducee, I'm including myself. We're not praying enough. We're not praying enough individually. We're not praying enough collectively. We're not praying enough. Jesus got on his disciples when they came to him with the young man that was deaf. And Jesus came and cast the demon out of the boy. And they said, how in the world, Jesus? Did you do this? He told them, he said, remember when I kept telling you, come, can you give me at least 1 hour to pray? Remember when I kept telling you that I needed you to come and steal away with me and go up to the mountains to be able to pray? He said, some things only come out through prayer and through fasting. Individually, collectively, we're not praying enough. We can call for a church-wide prayer and church-wide fast. I already know before hands even go up who's really going to fast. Mother Simon, for one. Even though she all the way in Texas, she will fast. That's why she's in great health now. She fasts about 6 days out of the seven. She really does. True story, no lies. I already know who's going to fast. I already know who will make an excuse for not fasting. Come on. And I already know those who will do it but look for loopholes to be able to still satisfy their flesh. Come on, sir. If I call for a corporate prayer gathering, I already know who's going to show up. Uh-huh. I already know that the ones that will show up if they're going to be active participants. Come on. I know those that will allow for everything else to become. That will allow for everything else to take precedence over this one time thing.
Come on, keep it real.
And I know those that won't even show up at all. I remember when we were going through transition as a church, sanctuary darn near packed for prayer. Those that have been here some time, you know, almost packed in here, Mother Moore, for prayer. But even then, our motives wasn't right because some was praying that I would become pastor.
Come on.
Some were praying that Jordan would become pastor.
Come on.
And some were praying for a different candidate. They think, I don't want either one of them. We're not praying enough individually.
Come on, sir. Convict us.
And we're not praying enough collectively.
Come on. Yes, sir.
We're not praying enough individually and collectively because we have been let down in prayer, because the prayers that we have petitioned before God and had before God never came. We never got the results that we thought that we should get. And can I tell you why we've walked away disappointed from their prayer experience? Because we prayed with the wrong motives. Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays. He said, Lord, remove this cup. He said, and he prays it three times, but he gets to the end and recognizes, if it be your will. If not, let your will be done. When is the last time that we pray after we've given God our laundry list of prayers and what we want him to do and when we need him to do it, and that if he's really God and God all by himself and El Shaddai and Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Sikkenu, that he can be able to make this thing happen in 15 minutes, and when it did not happen, we're mad. Not because God is not able, because we have prayed with the wrong motives. The baby's agreeing with me today. When was the last time we took a prayer assessment and prayer and said, Holy Spirit, reveal to me in my heart and show me if I have been praying with the wrong motives. Holy Spirit, show me if all these years, I've been mad at you because of unanswered prayer when the issue was not never with you. It's because I prayed with the wrong motives. Oh God, I see you looking at me. You don't like it, but I got to say it. Oh God. Authentic ministry does not happen without prayer. Here it is. Here's the second thing from my text. We see it. Authentic ministry discerns needs beyond the surface.
Yeah, I love it.
They get here to the gate called Beautiful. Some theologians even suggest that the naming of the gate Beautiful was to suggest that not everybody came through this gate. Some theologians suggest that this was a gate that certain people of a certain class entered. And the beggar knew that a certain people of a certain class were enter at this gate. And he wanted to be able to position himself to be able to get the most bang for his buck. They get there. Peter and John are not headed to the temple, Mother Albertine, to be able to pray, to be able to get in contact with his brother. They're headed to the temple to pray. But as they're getting there to the temple to pray, they meet this young man that we don't know his name. We don't know his age. We don't know his nationality. All we know is he's been a lame all of his life. And that he's had to depend upon the benevolence of kind-hearted individuals to pick him up and to carry him to the temple every day and to place him by the gate so that he could be able to beg. And once the time was over, he was expecting either the same group of people, Deacon Baker, or a different group that will pick him up and take him back home.
And then start the same thing over every day, Jerry. A cycle he's lived all of his life. Peter and John are there to go pray, not to meet this brother. But they get there to the temple, Elder Ford. And he asks them for some money. Oh, the spirit is evident. It's evident. This brother can't walk. He's begging. He's looking for everybody else to do for him because he can't do for himself. Peter and John tells the man, look at us. Look at me. He says, silver and gold. I ain't got it. I ain't got no $5 that you go to McDonald's. I ain't got no gas card. I ain't got nothing. But they says, but I do have something. They say, I ain't got that. But I got something. And what I have has the power to change your entire life. Oh, God, help me today. In the book of Acts, it says that when they saw Peter and John, when they saw some of the disciples, they could tell by their countenance that they had been with God. Oh, they could tell by the way that they walked. They could tell by the way that they talked. They could tell by the way that they carried themselves that they have been in the presence of God. What do people see you? What do people see in you outside of these four walls? Do people, when they see you, can they tell that you have been with God? Can they tell that you have been with the Master? Can they tell? Is there a residue lingering over your life at work? When they can tell that you have been with the Master. Is there a residue when you're at Walmart and you're in line and the cashier is rude and mean? Is there a residue when someone takes that first, y'all know that first parking lot in Walmart is right there, or maybe a few feet away from the door, and someone just cuts you off and gets there? Is there a residue lingering over you? That they can tell that you had been with the Master. He said, we ain't got no silver. We ain't got no gold. They said, but we discern that what you need is something greater than silver and gold. They said, we can discern that what you need cannot be bought. It cannot be purchased. It cannot be found on Amazon. It cannot be found on Temu. It cannot be found on eBay. They said, what we have has the power to be able to transform your life. Look at us. Silver and gold we don't have, but we discern that you need something greater. And the greater that we're getting ready to give you is the power of Jesus that can come into your life and change your life. Has anybody in here been changed by the power of God? Is anybody in here being changed by the power of God? Is there a witness in this house this morning that can say, Pastor, I know he's changing me right now? He tells them, he says, look at us, look at us, look at me, the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver, I don't have any gold for you, but I give you what I have. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Peter takes his right hand, which is the hand of authority, and he grabs the lame man's hand, and the man gets up, and as he's getting up, his feet and his ankles instantly gets strength. Brother looks around all these years. I can't believe what is happening to me. And his response is what I love. Because his response, oh God, help me this morning, was not of some bougie, sophisticated saint who's really a Pharisee that has forgotten how to respond properly when the Lord does something for you that nobody else could do. Okay. I'm sorry, and I made some folks mad because I called you bougie. I'm going to say it again. His response was not of a bougie, sophisticated saint who's really a Pharisee, but his response is of a person that is filled with gratitude, that understands, first of all, it didn't have to happen to me this way today. I could have stayed the same way that I was. They came here to go pray. They didn't come here to encounter me. But because they had discernment and they could discern that this brother needed something more than just $5 and a Happy Meal from McDonald's, they said, hey, I'm going to give you something that has the power to transform your life. And what does the brother do? The brother gets up. He jumped up, stood on his feet. He started walking, and then he went from walking to leaping and praising God. And this time, he's not waiting by the gate. This time, he walks into the temple saying, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I need somebody that you recognize, and you know that what the Lord has done in my life, nobody could have done it but God. And because it was nobody but God, I don't care if I step on your shoes, if I knock your wig off, I'm going to give God the greatest praise that he so rightfully deserved, because it did not have to be me. It could have been a different way, but he saw fit to change my life. Oh, I'm waiting on you. Oh, I'm waiting on you this morning. As the young folks say, we got time today. I'm waiting on you this morning. Every time when I think back and I remember when doctors said after we lost our first child that we would never have any kids, and I look over and I see Carrie and Kenny, my feet just get a little light every now and then, because I recognize the fact that nobody but God could open up a womb. When I think back to 38 years ago when doctors told my mom, go ahead and abort the baby and save your life, but she said, no, I get a little happy and my feet good life. When I sit over there and I hear every week back me up in preaching, I think about what doctors said that she would not be able to do, and everything they said she wouldn't be able to do, the girl is doing that and more. And because of that, and you got a testimony, you got a story of how the Lord healed you, how the Lord delivered you, how the Lord set you free. And because of that, every opportunity you get, you want to open up your mouth and give God praise. Come on, come on. You know your story. You know where you've come from. You know what you didn't have. You know what's been going on. You know how far the Lord has brought you. And you all got a praise right there. Authentic ministry. Authentic ministry. That's real and pure. So what are you saying, Pastor Hope? Well, we got to be discerning. I know we have our format of how we do.
But if Holy Spirit wants to interrupt our format, if he wants worship to be extended because there's a place that he wants us to be able to get to, we're cool with that. If we're in worship and there's a need that arises and we pray for the need, he's cool with that. That we are sensitive to Holy Spirit. What if Peter and John had been in such a rush to get into the temple and they missed a brother? Because if they had missed a brother, they would have missed an opportunity. For ministry. I know when we go to certain places and we already know a homeless person, we already know our speech and what we gonna say. I ain't got it, brother. I ain't got it. I got it. Listen, you got it when I got it. But could the need be more than just a meal for McDonald's or some money? Now, we got to use wisdom and discernment to know, but could it be a thing and say, brother, listen, I ain't got no money. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Again, we got to use wisdom. Got to use wisdom. But what if they have been rushing to get into the temple? How many people have we stepped over trying to get to church? How many people have we missed a moment of giving them Jesus because we were so in tune with our own stuff and so preoccupied with our own things? I've done it. I'm like, God, but Lord, give me another opportunity. What's a missed ministry opportunity where you're trying to invite your friends to church? No, that ain't it. Don't invite them to church and then leave everything else for me to do.
Come on, that's true.
No. When have you sat down with them and you shared your story? When did you sit down with them to hear their story?
That's it.
And coming to church may not come up right away. It may be months from then, but you're spending time with them and you're getting to know them.
That's it. That's ministry. That's it.
Because it's easy. Let me just bring them to church, pastor, preach to them. No. He says in Ephesians, my job is to equip you for ministry. That we take the tools that we get and not hide behind the mask that the Lord's still working on me. No. He's still working on you because you don't want him to work on you. And I still want to do what I want to do and not yield or surrender. So it's easier to bring the church pastor, preach to him, pastor, do all that. No. You're here to get torn up so that you can go out and do ministry. I know Reverend Newbern and Reverend Davenport, they're retiring now, but they know I'm talking the truth.
Yes, sir.
But how many moments have we missed with a coworker? How many moments have we missed with a neighbor? Someone that Holy Spirit keeps bringing them in your path. It's not by accident. Y'all keep running to each other in all the Walmarts in Southern Illinois. What? Mary and Murphy here in Carbondale. What? It's not by coincidence. He's presenting you with a ministry opportunity. So, Pastor, what do I do? What do I do?
Again, I like what Pastor Cal Adam says. He says, when I empty myself of me, it provides space for Holy Spirit to fill me up. So it's an emptying me of me and my pride. Emptying me of me of my ego. Here's a big one. Emptying me of my preferences so that I can be filled with the Spirit of God to go where he tells me to go and to do what he tells me to do. It's a simple thing. That if we're going to do ministry, saints, we got to be filled. We got to be discerning. We got to be prayerful. And listen, it has nothing to do with our denomination. Nothing. Oh God, nothing. Nothing. When we get to heaven, Baptist, AME, Presbyterian, non-denominational, Kojic, 2 days, 3 days, 7 days, open 24/7, it don't make a difference. None of it is going to matter. None of it. Collar, no collar, title, no title. None of it matters. But are we emptying ourselves that we may be filled? Am I emptying myself that I may be filled so that I can go where he tells me to go and do what he says for me